You know, you probably wonder why in the heck I had that crazy music playing on Easter Sunday morning. I mean, they were songs that some of them actually were songs I'd used in sermons over the years. But the last one was the weirdest one, wasn't it? You know what that was? That was Talking Heads, made in 1983, but it was used, and where it got really popular, was in 1987, where it became the theme song for none other than the movie Wall Street. Now, the reason I had that on was as I started to think about this service, and I thought of all the people over the years that I'd done service with on the beach. I remember one dear friend of mine, a guy that died actually about 4 years ago. His name was Tom Baer. Some of you might know him. He used to be here all the time. I mean, he was not exactly the best-looking guy in the world. He was about 6'4", 5", probably 300 pounds. And he was the head videographer for NBC. In fact, if you saw anything on Hurricane Katrina, it was his video. If you saw anything from the first Iraq War, the second Iraq War, or Afghanistan, it was him. If you saw anything from Haiti, it was him. In fact, if you want to, even though he's been dead now for 4 years, I think if you Google Baer in the Air, Google that and you'll find things all about him. He had an interesting life in that he, first of all, he got kidnapped by the Taliban, and NBC had to actually pay the ransom to get him out. He was also, in the first Iraq War, standing in Baghdad on the phone with Tom Brokaw when a cruise missile came in and hit his hotel, and he was blown through a wall. The guy was nuts. But he was my friend. He was my friend. I could tell you all kinds of stories on how I connected with him, but the truth of the matter is, it took a long time to really connect with him. And it's that connection that we have with people that I want to talk to you about this morning. I mean, how many of you really do connections well? I mean, how many of you do it well? I'll tell you what, you husbands, yeah, ask your wives. Yeah. I would venture to guess they'd say, we'd really like you to connect more. I mean, how many of us really know how to have intimacy, have connection, to trust somebody else? To trust them, I mean, not maybe with all the details, but at least with all the concepts. And yet so many of us leave big gaping holes out. We paint the narratives that we want in this life, you know, to be perceived, which may or may not be true. And that's what we give to other people. I'll be up front with you. It's real hard to find somebody that's totally authentic and genuine anymore, isn't it? When you come and you try and talk to them and, you know, just get to know them. Where you can really just sort of, we're vulnerable. You know, I mean, where it's just real. Where it's palpable. Where it's tangible. You know, I thought all about that, especially when I read the gospel. I've been reading this gospel now for 40 years. You know, and for 40 years I've probably been preaching on it. But for some reason, the gospel today turned around a little bit different. You heard it. It was the story of Jesus. He's in the tomb. Mary Magdalene. You know, she goes and she finds the tomb empty. She runs back and she gets Peter. And then it says that Peter and the other disciple, this is the part I always say every year, so I'm going to say it again this year, the one that Jesus loved best. You know why that is? That's because it's John. Guess who wrote this story? John. So Peter and, you know, Jesus' favorite run to the tomb. Guess who wins? John! Then they go in, but he doesn't go in the tomb. Peter goes in. And when they go in, they find the linen wrappings. They come out, and what happens? They go back, and they get the rest of the disciples. They all go home. But Mary, for Mary, it's not just an event. For Mary, she's looking for her friend. She's looking for somebody who she trusted and connected with more deeply than, I would venture to say, Peter, and the one who Jesus loved best. Says that she's there, and she kneels, and she goes in, and she looks, and she sees angels. But she's still weeping. She turns around, what happens? She turns around, and she sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener. Now, let me just make an aside here. Why is it a gardener? Why is that important? Where does God first encounter his creation? In the garden. They walk naked and unashamed. Adam and Eve do with the Lord. She thinks it's the gardener. They're back in the original place where they were supposed to be. Mary was. And it's not until Jesus says her name that all of a sudden her eyes are open. Then she just wants to hug. She said, no, right now. Not yet time. It's that kind of connection I'm talking about. I mean, do you realize how much God wants to connect with you? I mean, if you want to talk about somebody who's been trying to connect with his creation for eons, and not doing really a whole lot of connection sometimes, did he? I mean, think all the people that don't connect. Think about your own life. How often do you connect? How often do you really get it to where you turn around and you're totally open and vulnerable with God? You see, we're created to do that. That's the way you're created. I mean, you got the DNA imprint in you. But how well do you connect? Yeah, it's so funny to me that my buddy Tom Mayer, the guy I was telling you about in the beginning, you know, he used to ride down. We always worked out at the Nautilus at the gym. And he'd ride his bike every day. He lived on North Beach. He'd ride down. I mean, this guy, like I say, I can't echo this enough, was not the best looking man I've ever seen in my life. Okay? Bald head. He'd wear one of those fanny packs, and he'd ride his bike down the beach. And he always was playing, to be honest with you, the theme for Wall Street. And he'd come, and as he came down, he'd stop, and he'd tell me the story every time just about that he rode his bike down here. He'd come down, he'd say, I've been riding along, and all of a sudden, I'm on my bike, and I'm riding along. I got the theme for Wall Street playing. And then I'd run into some really good-looking hot girls. You know, they were 18, 19, 20 years old. And they'd stop me. And they'd say, oh, man, I love that song. And then Tom and his big old huge body, go, I'd get off my bike. And I'd start dancing with them. I think I dance better than he does. But he thought he connected. How many of us are going around in our life with God going and thinking we're connected? You see, to connect, you got to get quiet. You got to get honest. Sometimes I suck at that. Because the truth of the matter is, I want to put what I want to put forward, not necessarily what's always necessarily the truth. You see, we got to start talking to each other because you practice your relationship with God by having a relationship with each other. And yet most of us talk at each other rather than talk with people. When was the last time you really stopped and listened to what somebody else had to say while you didn't try and figure out what you are going to respond to them? You see, Easter is all about reconnection. Reconnection not just with each other, but reconnection with God. Because it's God that makes it all come together. That's why the Lord came and walked this earth. It's why he's here now. That's why you're seeing his creation, right? Trying to connect with you. you know, throughout Scripture, it's really interesting. It says over and over and over again, wake up. And what he means by wake up is quit looking into the darkness, start looking into the light. The light of God came to this earth in the form of Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, the only begotten Son. God sent him here. He walked this earth. You know, the part of the story that I don't understand is I've got a 35-year-old son. And I'll be out front with you. If I send him down to a bunch of people just to do good things, to heal people, raise people from the dead, cast out demons, talk to them, have dinner with them, the whole nine. If I sent my son to a bunch of people to just simply do good, and those people killed my son, I wouldn't send him back. I often wonder if it wasn't Jesus himself who said, you know, Dad, sent me in the first place, but I want to go back. Because I want him to just know how much I really love him. And then he said, I believe Jesus did. I don't want to just go back once. I'm going to come back twice. And I'm going to come back in the presence of the Holy Spirit in each one of their hearts. You are created in the image of God. God's already in you. You are given the Holy Spirit. You have the power of God in you. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? I'll never forget when I first started in the ordained ministry. And after about 2 years of preaching, somebody came up to me and said, you know, I've listened to you for 2 years. You only have one sermon. It's all about a relationship with God. At first, I was kind of offended. But I'll be real upfront with you. After doing this for over 30 years, I just have one sermon. And that's all you need. It really comes down to that. Personal between you and him. But there's only one sermon. And it's the best sermon in the whole world. Relationship with God, even a bad one's better than none. And it's what gives you life. It's what gets you through everything. And on this day, I pray that you set aside those things that keep you from that. You aren't going to do that 100% of the time. Heck, the Lord knows that. But you can do it a lot more than you do it. And you can be a little better today than you were yesterday. And you can, in the process, be transformed from a little bit less of what you are right now into a little bit more what you ought to be. I got four more services to do, so I'm going to shut up. But I thank you for being here this day. But I hope most of all that Jesus showed up in your life and in your heart. That's really what it's all about. There's nothing more, nothing less. I only got one sermon. It's the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.